You ever had one of those times you hardly know what to do? You look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul's right in the middle of it, isn't he? You look at, he says, I want you brethren at Corinth who are over there in Europe, I want you to know what's happening over here in Asia. It's likely what was happening over there in Ephesus and some of the things that were transpiring in Ephesus. And you read those early verses, and Paul was just about at his wit's end. In fact, you look at it carefully. You see that expression? Verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And verse 10, he delivered us from so great a death. Paul's life was being threatened because of his faith in God. And I'm telling you, that's what adversity does for us. Sometimes it really makes us look more to God. You know, wasn't it Solomon that says, Lord, help me neither to be poor nor rich, because if I'm rich, I don't even have any need of God. But it's at those times of desperation that we really, really know that we need God. Sometimes we sing that song, do we not? Where could I go but to the Lord? And that's sort of where Paul is. But I want you to look especially at what he says about, here we are in Asia, and there you are over there in Europe, and look what he says. You helped us. How? Because you were praying for us. I want us today to talk about Paul's prayer life and then talk about our prayer life as we talk about prayer in the life of Paul. Because you see, Paul was a great important person in the early church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, you imitate me like I imitate Jesus. And so by looking at Paul's life, we'll be able to see in it the mirror of what was in Jesus' life, and thereby, that which ought to be mirrored in our lives. And that is, I want us to talk about this matter of prayer. Are you having troubles right now? Are some of you at the depths of despair? Some of you really struggling with your faith, or trying to struggle how to deal with situations in your life, situations at work, or situations, you know, with neighbors, and situations with family members and all of that? Paul says that there are other folks that help us in that, because he says, you people in Europe, another continent, and what was happening there in Europe was a part of the blessing that helped us make it through this trial in our lives. Paul's prayer life. Paul taught a lot about prayer, did he not? And that's not really for us to spend a lot of time this morning looking at some of those verses that Paul quoted about. But you know 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, do you not? One of those short verses. Pray without ceasing. Guys, you don't have to, junior high kids, you don't have to listen to this, but a congregation I grew up in, we had Sunday school also on Sunday night. A different kind of class. And all ages, from the smallest children all the way to those who were young adults, were all in one class. And every class began with quoting verses. And I looked for short verses. And when I found 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Because, you know, you never knew where they'd start in the room. And somebody would get, what, John 11:35 that says Jesus wept. Somebody would find that verse. Now, what am I going to do? Here's one. Pray without ceasing. And you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and there are about five or six of them. Listen, that's not just a short verse. That's a lifestyle. Now, pray without ceasing doesn't mean you never stop praying, in the sense that for 24/7 you got to stay awake all the time, just be praying, because such could not be, and that's not what Paul did. But he never ceased praying. And he told these people in Thessalonica, who by the way were also in Europe and knew much about Paul's life, he says, brethren, pray for us. That's in verse 25. That's amazing. Another one of those short verses. But that's not just a short verse. That is the apostle saying to other people, you need to keep praying for me. I need your prayers. Why? 1 Corinthians 11:1-11, your prayers help me in my life, and it makes a difference about what happens in my life. Paul really believed in this matter of prayers, and he says that prayer should be made for all men. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then we've got brethren, pray for us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. And then 1 Timothy chapter 2, and that says that, did I say 1 Thessalonians a moment ago? 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it says prayers be made for all men. And then he says, He says later in this verse, I will that men pray everywhere. That's remarkable, isn't it? Prayer. Is that important, Paul? Everywhere. You ought to be praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray for us. It's remarkable, isn't it? But Paul not only taught a lot about prayers, and by the way, you count the number of times prayer and pray, and the word pray and prayers and thanksgiving or thanks is found in the Bible, and Paul uses that nearly half of the time it's even found in the New Testament. Paul really believed in it. And that's why this lesson has real importance. Can you imagine what it'd be like to hear Paul pray? We'll talk a little bit later about who all he prayed for. But wouldn't it be wonderful just to be able to hear somebody? There are men in this church that I love it when when it's your turn to lead a public prayer. It changes who I am. And you know, if you'll stop and think about it, you can tell a lot about a man who prays privately by the way he prays publicly. And so the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And sometimes that our lives are being transformed just by a phrase that's found in a prayer, a statement that's made in the prayer. Can you imagine? Here's the Apostle Paul. And when everybody again said, I'm praying for this one and this one and this one and this one, how long that prayer would have been, but how compassionate it would have been. And then whenever Paul talks about thanksgiving and talks about all of the things that, can you imagine? You know, when Jesus was praying, Luke chapter 11, when the disciples heard him praying, Luke chapter 11 verse 1 says that when he stopped praying, the disciples, who were men who had been praying all of their lives, get that? Jewish men, apostles, grown up, been praying all their life, they heard Jesus pray, and whenever Jesus went pray, they went over and they said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And so, really what this lesson is sort of about is, Paul, because you say imitate me like I imitate Jesus, Paul, would you teach us how to pray? Paul's prayer life is really, really important. In Paul's prayer life, he prayed for others. Prayed for others. We talk about Paul's prayer life and our prayer life, and I hope as we go through this lesson, you'll be thinking about, maybe that's what I should be praying about. Instead of just always praying about me and my needs, to be conscious about the needs of others and to be involved in their lives. Do you know anybody in this auditorium that's having problems right now? Do you ever understand that whenever you read that announcement sheet that you get as you come in, or the announcements that are made in our... Why do we make those kinds of announcements? It might be that very announcement might be a way of us being able to have insight into things I should be praying about. You know, we're talking a lot. We have, for the last month or so, talked about thinking about the church not just as an assembly of people who come together on Sunday morning and Sunday night or Wednesday night just to sing and pray, but a family. And that's really a part of praying for others, isn't it? Richard, I don't want to single you and Judy out with that great-grandson of yours. The adversity that you're having, his life hanging there in the balance. You think it would help if we prayed about that? See, that's what Paul did. And so when Paul thought about the church at Rome, Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, first, I love the way first is there. First, I want you to know, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Imagine Paul saying to a church he had never visited, I know about that church, and I want you to know that I'm thanking God for you. He writes the church at Corinth, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace which was given to you. See, Paul had started that church at Corinth, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And now he writes a letter back to them, and he says to the church at Corinth, I thank God concerning you because God's grace has come to you. I thank God for our young people, our teens, senior high and junior high, that the grace of God has come into your heart and into your life. That's what Paul did. And that's really what was a part of Paul's life. To the church at Philippi, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. To the church at Colossae, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying for you. To the church at Thessalonica, he says, we thank God, give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. He says also, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting. He says to Timothy, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. What do I need to pray about? Well, maybe I ought to say, thank you, Lord, before I eat my food. Paul says, night and day to those, to young Timothy, his son in the faith, I'm praying for you. And just because, not to emphasize anyone above the others, but because of Angie and Alex and Cody and Jeff and Kyle. Just imagine what it would be if they knew that we were praying for them all the time. See, that's family. Church is not just a place where we come and sit and sort of worship together and give a little bit of money, drink a little juice and eat some bread and go back home. That's not what it's all about. It's family. And Paul says to his son Timothy in the faith, day and night I'm praying for you. To Philemon, he says, I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayers. Paul's prayer life. What about ours? Instead of always just having the same kinds of things in our prayers, there needs to be those times when it's not just, Lord, give me and help me in my adversity, but God bless this person and bless that person. And especially that person who sits around you in this building or you read about some individual and you pray for them. We could talk about our workers down in Paraguay. Wouldn't it be great if they were just confident that they knew us well enough? And some of you I know have said this to them in letters that you've written to them. I'm praying for you. I've been on that missionary in the foreign field, and to get that letter from some individual that says, I am praying for you, Dan. Praying for you and Judy. That's what prayer is all about. Paul prayed for the others and he told them. Because you see, Paul believed that prayer changes situations. Do you believe that? Go back to the passage we looked at the text of this lesson, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, I'm over here in Asia, and I'm telling you, I have the sentence of death upon me, and I'm about to have to die for Christ, but I've been delivered from it, and you helped by your prayers. Did you hear that, folks? The prayers that were prayed on another continent. Paul says, that's how I made it. He believed prayer opened doors. In Acts chapter 18, Paul says the Lord told Paul, there's an open door here in Corinth. And while he was discouraged and he was afraid, the Lord said, there's an open door here. And that's why Paul writes and he says to brethren, pray that the gospel might have free course. We've talked about, have we not, about trying to get the gospel to the most remote place on this earth, to Easter Island, and the joy and the association we have with our missionaries in Paraguay who've made three, and I believe already made three trips, and Josh will be making a fourth one within the next two months. Let's pray about it. Not just when we assemble in this building, But Paul says, pray without ceasing, night and day, making mention of you, because you see, prayers changes things. And Paul believed that he was going to be delivered from prison because of prayer. He writes that little one chapter book in the Bible to Philemon, and he says to Philemon, you know, I'm sending Onesimus back to you, but he says, having confidence in your obedience, I write these things knowing you'll do even more than I say. And then he says, I know, the next verse, I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Here's Philemon. This time Paul is in Rome, even a greater distance away from Colossae. Rome is in Europe. Colossae is over in Asia. And that's where Onesimus and Philemon lived. And Paul says, Philemon, I know you're praying for me. And I believe that your praying for me is going to change what happens. It's going to change what happened. I'm going to be delivered from prison. That's why he prayed for his enemies. Whenever he talks about, at my first answer, no man stood with me, they all forsook me, but I pray the Lord will not lay it to their charge. Isn't that sort of what Jesus prayed on the cross whenever he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Paul understood what prayer was all about. Listen to this. Paul prayed for the lost. That's remarkable, isn't it? Brethren, Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He looked at the Jewish nation, who by and large had turned away from Jesus Christ. If they were there, many of them went back and walked with Him no more, John 6:66 says. And Paul says, I'm praying for them. And then listen to it. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. They're serving God, but they're not serving Him in the right way. And being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish self-righteousness, they have not submitted themselves to the providence of to the righteousness of God. And in the previous chapter, chapter 9, verse 4, he said, I could wish myself anathema, irrevocably cut off from God, anathema. I could wish myself anathema for Israel, my people, according to the flesh. I want you to hear that. You're talking about Paul mirroring Jesus, who gave his life so that others might be saved. Paul said, if it were possible for you, Israel, to be saved, I'd go to hell in your place. I struggle with that. I struggle with that. I think we all do. Is it our heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel? Think of the gospel meeting that we just had. Think of the outreach that is involved, even in this Heart to Heart magazine that will go out. Why would we not pray that those who receive that magazine could find the Lord? Gorman, you wouldn't be in this church if it were not for that Heart to Heart magazine. And there are others praying for the lost. And then I want to say something from my heart as a message from my heart to you, that I'm praying for some of you, my brethren, because I'm watching you die spiritually. And I want you to know I'm praying by name for you. The elders meet two times a week, and a large part of that meeting is oftentimes spent talking about how can we get this person to serve the Lord more effectively. And I share in that. Because you see, one does not just all of a sudden quit coming to church. Oh, every now and then that's happened. Something traumatic happens. But the Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away from them. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, not that I'm God, not that I'm the Apostle Paul. I'm just your brother, and I want to tell you, I'm seeing it happening in your life. You're drifting. You're not where you were once spiritually. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you, because I see the drift. And would you join me in praying for others? Regardless of who you are or where you are, can we not look at the prayer life of Paul and say, that's what I want to be? You get to the end of a sermon, you think, is that negative or positive? Well, it depends, doesn't it? But I want you to hear this. Prayer changes what happens in this world. And we ought to be praying for each other. And as we see changes coming about in the lives of people in this church, moving away, moving in, new babies, getting old, getting decrepit, getting Alzheimer's, all of this other kinds of things, teens going out into the world, you know, a year from now, where are you guys going to be, those who are seniors? Wouldn't it be great if you could know that this church is praying for you? Prayer life. You know what a family does? Church is a family, isn't it? Don't we take care of each other? And I believe there's hardly anything more encouraging than for brothers or sisters to say to me, Dan, I'm praying for you. Over the years that I've preached, there's been a host of people, usually widows, 80 plus years of age. And I could call them by name, for they still pray for me. If I call her name Willette, those of you will know Willette. She just celebrated her 100th birthday. And she says on the phone, Dan, I'm praying for you, and I've been doing it every day of my life since I met you. I met her in 1969. What an encouragement that is to me. I'm not asking you to say that to me. I'm just saying, brethren, pray for me and pray for each other. Pray for the gospel that it might have free course. And pray that God will bless us, that we'll become family. Pray for the lost and pray for those who are drifting away from God. Let's pray for each other. Because here's the positive. It changes what happens. Or the changes that you need to make in your life. Are you aware that if you're not a Christian, this church has been praying for you? You need to become a Christian. Everybody says, how do I do that? You believe in the Lord, don't you? John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, if you do that, you can be saved. But even the devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So you got to change. That's repentance. That's what Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 says. And before you can be baptized, you need to confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. And then when you're baptized in water, baptized into His death. Hear that. Baptized into His death, your sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus. If you haven't done that, you need to do it, in order that you might be right with God. And He adds you to the family, brothers and sisters, and there's an older brother named Jesus who is our intercessor at the right hand of God, our advocate when we sin. Don't you want Jesus as your advocate? Become a part of His family. Become His brother. And He'll be that very thing to you. And He says to all of us, don't you let up. You be full of faith until the day that you die. And if your faith is weakening, will you not make whatever changes you need to make in your life so that your faith may be stronger? Because there are others who are praying for you. If you need to respond to this invitation, how can this church help you go to heaven? Let us know by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?